Hello, everyone. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you might be. Today, before we get started on the 5-step action plan to live longer, I wanted to show you something that should be in everybody's diet regularly. Are blueberries, blackberries, raspberries. Berries are phenomenal, but I had to show you these guys. Look at these guys. They're amazing. This is my grateful list today. These are jumbo blueberries. Literally the size of my eyeballs and great. They're just delicious. So thankful for those. But I want to share those with you today. People often ask, what am I eating? Blueberries, I eat every single day. They're just like, if I had a last meal, it would be blueberries and maybe my enchiladas. So let's talk about the 5-step action plan to living longer. I did this a few days ago with Chef AJ, which was amazing. I'm also running a longevity lovers workshop. If you want to learn more, it's in the link there. Feel free to check it out. It's free to Healing Kitchen members. So if you are a Healing Kitchen member, hopefully I will see you tomorrow. If not, you have access, as always, to all the recordings and the ebook, which is a lot of fun. Okay, so what are the 5 levers or the 5-step action plan? What I wanted to do with this is really not only point out, okay, these are the things you should be doing, but how do you measure them, right? Because so many times we're told to do something, but we never are really given an idea how to measure progress. So that's where I really want to go with that today. And so the first thing is understanding nutritional biomarkers and why is that important? Well, in the United States, majority of people are overweight or obese. It does not mean that they're well nourished. They're malnourished in the sense they're not getting the appropriate micronutrients, which is your vitamins and fiber and phytochemicals, all these amazing things that come from whole foods. They're not getting enough, and they're eating ultra processed foods, very pro-inflammatory foods, and we wonder why we're getting sicker and sicker. And we're seeing that the lifespan, which is the years lived, actually decreasing over the last few years in the United States. That's insanity. You hit a point and you bounce off because we've chosen to engage in unhealthy behaviors. Well, here's what we need to do. Number one is look at your nutritional biomarkers. So what does that mean? Basically, we want to look at a few different labs. Number one would be, and many times you can get these from your regular doctor. It shouldn't be a problem. A comprehensive metabolic panel. So what that's going to do is it's going to measure your fasting blood sugars. Make sure you get these done fasting. We'll check your kidneys, your liver. It could be a screening as well if they're elevated for an inflammatory liver disease, like fatty liver. You get fatty liver and you don't necessarily always see an increase in your liver numbers in the beginning, but as it progresses, it absolutely can happen. It's running rampant in this country. Next is a lipid panel or cholesterol panel. We want to see where your risk factors are for cholesterol. And I don't care what you've read or what you heard, LDL counts, chronic, or excuse me, heart disease, cardiovascular disease is multifactorial. And LDL is a big piece of that puzzle, guys. And so is inflammation. So if you hear someone saying LDL doesn't matter, I need you to turn them off and switch the channel. Okay? All right. Because the studies show that if you decrease LDL, you're going to decrease the cardiac events. That's just what, it's just the way it is. People can argue with you, but at the end of the day, people do better when they eat better and they lower the LDL. And sometimes they need medication, and that helps too. Okay, next. Step off. Sorry. Next would be fasting glucose, right? So this is going to tell us about insulin resistance, which is a big thing of mine. I love talking about insulin resistance, pre-diabetes, or if you're diabetic. There's a third of our country walking around either in a pre-diabetic state, or with diabetes. Majority of them don't even know they have it. Yes, I've done more than once diagnosed people with diabetes and their A1C was, 11, 12. This means they're running around with blood sugars in the high 200s, 300s, sometimes 400s, and they had no idea because they'd been sick for so long. Okay, fasting blood sugar, hemoglobin A1C, which is a measurement of the stickiness of your red blood cells over the last 3 months. And again, that we're looking at for insulin resistance, prediabetes, diabetes, etc. Another one is called CRP, are a highly sensitive CRP. This is going to talk to the inflammation component that I was speaking about. Inflammation is the root of so many chronic diseases, and we really, really need to be paying attention to this. So hsCRP would be a great one. And then other things that are a little bit more important, especially around for plant-based eaters, is B12. Definitely get your B12, you know, test, don't guess. Don't just assume you can eat enough fortified foods to get enough B12, guys. I will tell you, if you were my patient, that you need to supplement 500 to 1,000 micrograms daily until we do a test, get a test back that says that's too much, and then we can back off. Majority of people are walking around B12 deficient because they're not testing. Next is vitamin D. Vitamin D, doesn't matter if you're eating plant-based or not. So many people are deficient. It's important for your immune system, mood, so many things that vitamin D is a part of, bone health, different things like that. So where do you want to be when you measure your markers? Minimally 30, but if I can get my folks in that 40 to 50 range, I'm super happy. And finally, I think iron/ferritin is a good one too. So many people that I've seen, again, not even just necessarily plant-based, but they're not eating iron-rich foods. They're eating ultra-processed junk foods, and you'll see a deficiency in your iron stores, which is your ferritin. If you're below 50, you may be dealing with fatigue, even though all your other labs look okay. Your CBC, you're not anemic, but if your ferritin's below 50, you could, like I said, be dealing with hair loss, fatigue, restless leg syndrome, different things like that. So those would be the first ones, I would say. There might be some more nuanced labs that we could do, but for the majority, that's going to get the bulk of where you want to really hone in and see what you can do to action plan. So what do you do for that? Well, go talk to your doctor, get the labs done, fasting each 12 hours, drinking only water, and then finally, eat a whole plant-based diet. You know me, I'm going to point you in that direction, because just by engaging in a whole food plant-based diet, removing these ultra-processed food, animal products, high in cholesterol, you are going to see a shift in those numbers, okay? Number two, physical fitness. Okay, you're like, okay, go exercise. What exercises do I do? Well, I think, you know me, I'm going to be telling you to do not only cardiovascular to improve your, you know, cardiovascular health, right? So these aerobic type exercises, but also resistance training or weight bearing exercises. But I also want you to do some type of flexibility and mobility training. Now, it doesn't mean it has to be like all this exercise and you can't do a few that maybe do deal with both. For example, if I like to ruck, so I will put on, I don't have it with me, but I have a backpack. It's around 12 pounds. I can go walking at a little bit higher clip, going up a hill. My heart rate's hitting to where my normal jog is, absolutely. And I'm doing weight-bearing exercise. Afterwards, I could do some stretching, some other things. So again, think about when you're doing resistance training, doing big compound movements. And if you're lifting weights and it's heavy enough and you're exerting yourself, you will also see some elevation in your heart rate. So again, all of these things are super important. The other things you want to be paying attention to is like VO2 max. That you can use as your Apple Watch. Again, it's not as accurate as walking into a lab and fitting a mask and running on a treadmill, but it's a nice little thing that you can utilize every single day. That's kind of your baseline, right? So VO2 max, it's like I said, it can be on your iPhone and the health app. I think Fitbit might do it. I'm not sure. But again, that's one thing. The other two things are a couple of strength tests is grip strength. Go see how long you can hang on a bar, right? You could also, they make special, is a dynamometer or something, a diameter that you squeeze and it'll tell you how many pounds of pressure you can squeeze. You could do that. You could see what your one repetition maximum is with a certain particular movement, like a deadlift. That could be a measure. Again, so we want to measure hand strength. That's been associated with longevity, and your leg strength. Some other things you could do with that is, let's see, doing time squats. How many squats can you do in 1 minute, for example, right? So that could be another thing. Again, what are your action steps? One is measure it and then can work, do those exercises to improve those things, such as complex compound movements, right? Not complex, but compound movements, like a deadlift to a press, lunges, things like that. Again, you might want to get a physical therapist or a personal trainer to help, you know, design a particular program that works for you, given your current maybe restrictions or difficulties or injuries. Again, the big piece here is just to start moving. The flexibility mobility piece, which is interesting, you could do a sitting to rising test. That is basically where you stand, you get on the ground, try not to use your hands or knees, and then get back up. That has been shown really interesting. I'd have to go dig into the exact numbers again. I don't recall off the top of my head, but it is associated with longevity because it tells you that you have strength and you have good balance, less likely to fall, break a hip, things like that. You're less frail if you can do those things. Another thing with the the flexibility testing is just sitting down, spreading your legs out a little bit and reaching forward. You could actually get a tape measure or a rope or something, or just, you know, using your eyeballs and see how far you can reach, right? Can you only reach to your knees? Can you reach to your toes? Can you reach past your feet? Again, these are fairly straightforward tests that you can do, but, you know, you can maybe check them every week or once a month and see what's going on. The key thing to keep in mind with any resistance training that you're doing is do progressive overload, right? You just don't want to keep doing the same simple exercises for more than 12 weeks or so. You probably want to switch those out. And in addition, go ahead and adding more weight as you can. So if you're finding that you can do the previous weight and not get pretty tired, if you're hitting your max reps, let's say you hit 12 reps is in your set, you think, wow, I feel pretty good. I still have good energy. It's time to increase the weight. Again, personal trainer to speak to you and help you with that. What is the next one? Body composition. I think this is important because so many people focus in on the BMI. So remember, BMI is based on your height and weight. That's what your doctor is going to be utilizing to say, hey, you're overweight or you're obese, and will basically make some choices and tell you, hey, you need to lose weight or not. I would argue many people, even within the normal BMI category, are still overweight and need to lose 20, 30 pounds just based on, you can call it my own experience. I'd have to go dig in some research, but I found that people are still insulin resistant and probably usually have 20 to 30 pounds to lose. And we start seeing blood sugar shifting. We see hypertension finally resolving. We see cholesterol finally improving. So really important to think about using something. You can use BMI as an easy measure, but remember, it doesn't differentiate between fat and lean muscle mass. So what can you do instead? Well, you could do what we call a waist to hip ratio, right? So you measure around the smallest part of your waist and your hips, and you do that ratio. Men would want to be under 0.9 and women under 0.8. Above that, we have some concerns about increased risk of visceral fat, which is pro-inflammatory, higher risk for things like metabolic diseases like diabetes, cardiovascular illness, like heart attack, stroke, things like that, and fatty liver. Visceral fat, remember, is the fat that's stored in and around your organs. It's also deposited in like the liver and muscles, which makes it, again, more insulin resistance, which is, it's been associated with so many things, everything. High risk of cancer, diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, heart disease, you name it. How can you measure that? Well, besides the hip, the waist-hip ratio, you could do something like I shared with you previously, like the DEXA scan. And that gives you a good indication of your body fat percentage along with your visceral fat, which is really helpful information. We certainly don't have to do that because if you have a good, you know, waist-hip ratio, you're exercising, you're eating a healthy whole food plant-based diet, you're going to naturally start decreasing that, and you will see decrease visceral fat even if you were measuring. It's just what happens. Next, I think people understand the importance of mental health, but the stress piece, guys, is so, so important. That's why you'll hear me doing so many lives regarding stress reduction, trying to give you something, ideas or stories that will really appeal to you and resonate with you so you can really start taking care of what's in between the ears. Because when you start focusing in and thinking about how I can improve my mental health, my stress, decreasing my negative attitudes and reactions, you know, stopping the complaining and different things, where we're just living in this negative soup. I think of it's like walking through a swamp every day, right? If we can think about how to decrease that stress by giving ourselves space, and there's lots of ways to do that. Again, carving out time, saying no to things. It's okay to say no. Your child doesn't have to be in five different after-school activities. I promise they will be still successful humans. It won't be because they had that extra piano lesson or they were on three different sports teams at once. I've lived this life. I raised three kids. I'm telling you, they'll do fine without it. They can do one thing, something that you all can do as a family and enjoy. Reevaluate what you're doing with your life. Don't run through life just to check off lists. Live life while you're here. So anyway, for stress and mental well-being, there's a couple things you can do. I did my live a few days ago about a psychological well-being test, and it was really about a perceived stress test, which is really interesting because I'd never really thought about telling patients you can ask these questions to yourself every week or once a month and just decide how are you handling stress. Because the reason I said that was because I would have patients, I still have patients who come in, I'll send them my intake form, and what they're saying, I have a few questions at the end to ask them, you know, about worry or anxiety or, you know, feeling down. So many of them will say, most days of the week, they're worried or anxious. But then the last question is, how do you feel or how well do you handle stress in your life? They're like, I feel great. I handle stress great. But they're worrying most days of the week. It's not congruent, right? So I think many times we think that worrying and having a constant discontent is a normal way of living. It absolutely is not. Regardless of your life circumstances, it's a shift in how we're relating to life in general. And so anyway, I think this is a really important tool to utilize so you can see where your baseline is. And then as you start employing things like mindfulness practice, meditation, positive self-talk, lots of different things, yoga, whatever it is that you want to do, listening to music that will calm you, give you space to allow you to just be, maybe walking in nature. Again, lots of different ways to do that. Breath work, this is a great tool to measure objectively your stress. Another thing that you can measure physiologically, right, which is going to be talking about balancing the sympathetic and parasympathetic things going on in your life, is heart rate variability. The Whoop has a nice one, way of measuring it. I just got tired of wearing two things at all during the day. But you can also get it on your Apple Watch. I just don't wear the Apple Watch at night because it doesn't hold the charge well enough. But between the two, you can get some really interesting data. Again, remember, this is just data, guys. And we don't want to have an emotional response to data. Data changes. Remember, the only constant in life is change. I can guarantee you, anybody who would like to bet me and give me, yeah, let's bet. Like, you want to bet $1 million that nothing changes in your life? Well, I can sell you, you know, what is it? They say I can sell you Eskimos, the igloo. I can sell you an igloo in Arizona, right? It's like that type of thing. The one thing that we can count on is change, just like these numbers. So don't get hung up on them. Don't feel excited about them, and I wouldn't be upset about them. Again, it's data, right? So if your heart rate variability is a little lower today, you're like, okay, that is what it is. No need to get upset about it. We're just going to make it worse by getting upset about it. What can I do about that to maybe decrease my stress? All it is it's an objective measure, just like if you wear a CGM or continuous glucose monitor saying your blood sugars are elevated today. Well, what can I do to change it? I eat something different. I move my body. Same thing here. This is like the blood sugar of your stresses. Use HRV as a nice little tool to determine if you're doing some things to really start getting that parasympathetic system online more often. Again, it doesn't mean sympathetic is bad. We need the sympathetic nervous system, but it's a balance, right? We tend to be more sympathetic driven. Your type A personality, I want to get things done and you know, I have this checkoff list and I got to get it done before I can relax. It's exhausting just thinking about it. And trust me, I am a checkoff list fiend. I love my checkoff list. But it doesn't mean it's healthy. All right. Anyway, so you can check your HRV. You can check out the psychological well-being surveys. Again, the activities are going to be figuring out space in your life, giving yourself mental space, not to necessarily be bored, because I think being bored just means that your brain doesn't have anything to entertain it. We should be able to sit in quiet by ourselves and not be bored, right? We could, you know, it's just be present. Just be present. Yeah. If you find yourself feeling restless and looking for your phone to start scrolling or looking online or turning on the TV, we got some issues, and we need to go exercise. We need to go do something, read a book. We need to do something to move our body that will help. But anyway, taking some breaths, getting in touch with your inner body, you know, being grounded, that will help tremendously. But anyway, lots to go there. But so far, what I just mentioned was nutritional biomarkers, the physical fitness, the body composition, stress, and mental well-being. And sometimes you need professional help, and that's okay too. And finally, sleep quality. Yeah, sleep quality. So sleep quality is really very important. Again, you could wear your smartwatches or Whoop to measure how well you're sleeping. But I'd also say you could just really paying attention to, or maybe even journaling, how you wake up in the morning. Are you feeling well rested? Do you notice that your blood sugars are higher in the morning, much, much higher? All sorts of things. Someone telling you that you are snoring or gasping for air as you're sleeping in the middle of the night. That might be a point that you need to do a sleep study. So what are the action steps? Again, these are the basic things we always hear. Establish a regular bedtime routine. Really optimize your sleep environment, right? You want it dark, quiet, and comfortable. And then limit your screen time an hour before bed, and your last meal should be 3 hours before you put your head down. And those really are the main tools, guys. If you do those things, you're going to see improvement in your overall health. You'll see, again, not only lifespan increase, but health span. So, which is the most important. Again, just pointing out that I do have the Longevity Levers Workshop. It is tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. There's an ebook that's really long. Got some awesome things in it, recipes and all the levers and explanations. And I'll be going over that live and answering your questions tomorrow morning. And like I said, it's free to the Healing Kitchen members. If you're not a member of the Healing Kitchen, check out that. It's on the Dr. Marva's website as well. So thanks again for listening, and I will see you guys.